Why don't we all say it together tonight? Brother Blotto, preach to me.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we raise our hands and give Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, praise. Oh, let's put our focus on Him right now. Jesus, You're the center of it all. Thank You, God, for what You're doing already this evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I want to make some remarks. I want to obey my manners tonight. But good to be here. I wish your pastor was here. And appreciate his confidence in having me come. In his absence, I know there's plenty of individuals that could fulfill this slot today, this evening. But it's my honor and our honor to be here. Good to have my wife and my daughter with me. And I appreciate your pastor. Aren't you thankful for the man of God in your life?
Yes, sir.
Your pastor.
Yes.
Amen. I've known Brother and Sister Riggin for probably since I was, since about 10 years old. So I'm 40. So that's a long time. But it's been many years. And so good to be here this evening. And good to see everybody here. So good to see Brother Hall here tonight. I haven't seen Brother Hall in, he said, 20-something years. He, when my father went back evangelizing, I was only 14 years old, and he took the church there in Lawrence and carried on with it. And so good to see you. I give you honor. So good to see you, brother. And good to see everybody here, Brother Farrell, Sister Farrell. Good to see the Nelsons here. I've known Brother and Sister Nelson probably the longest. Everybody, they've known me since I was probably younger than 10. I know that. So good to see them here. Amen. Just good to see the people of God. And Brother and Sister Hilton, I know they're proud of their kids. Your kids are carrying on with this gospel. I get to go preach for Brother Brandon Hilton next Wednesday night. So pray for me that I can be a blessing there. It's just good to be here with the people of God. And I'm excited about serving the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, us younger generation, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all those that I just mentioned. And all the rest that I haven't mentioned, that I don't know who you are. But I honor the saints of God that have gone on before us, that are still among us. We always say those that have gone on before us as if the ones that have passed on. But hey, there's a whole generation, there's a whole church that is ahead of us, amen, that has helped blaze the trail. And I don't want to be careful not to salute the church of that era and that generation. Amen. Praise God. Good to be here this evening, and I'm excited about what God's doing. Amen. Drawing your attention to the book of Psalms. We're going to go to the book of Psalms. Amen. Psalms, I believe it is 33rd chapter, and we're going to read one portion of Scripture there, verse 8. Amen. Psalms 33 and 8. Praise God. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Psalms 33 and 8. The Bible reads, Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And I want to talk to you tonight on the topic, the awe of it all. Keeping the awe of it all. Let's go to God in prayer one more time. Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your spirit. Oh, thank You, God, for the worship that we have felt here this evening. Thank You, God, for the man of God of this local assembly and all those that are present here tonight. We'll be careful to praise You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You clap your hands in the Lord while you're seated. We're all familiar with the word awesome. It is a common response to something that is great, something that is wonderful, something that is spectacular, is the word awesome. You tell somebody, hey, I'm gonna take you out to dinner. We're gonna go to Saltgrass and you can buy you the steak that you want. You can order a Dr. Pepper. You can order any appetizer you want. You're gonna say awesome. That sounds really good to me. Amen. Awesome, the word is derived from an old English word coming from the root word awe. So if you take our English teachers here tonight, if we have any, you take the word awesome, the root word of awesome is awe. That's the old English terminology, which means for fear, having terror, reverence, combined with the prefix, the suffix of some. So you put awesome together, we get the word that is awesome. I remember when I was in college, I was taking a course, and the instructor gave us a piece of paper, and it was written in Old English. And there was words in there that I had never heard of. And it showed to me, and it showed to the rest of the class, that over time, the English language has evolved. And words that had one meaning today have a different meaning. And something that used to have a negative context has a positive context. And so this word awesome in the Old English, which is why we talk about our God is an awesome God. He's not an awesome God that is awesome, like, man, that's really cool. No, he's an awesome God in the sense of the original meaning of the word. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. So awesome references something that has reverence, fear, respect, terror. All those combined make up the word awesome. When I think of the word awesome, I have to also throw in other words that give us a better, clear understanding of the word awesome. I have to think of the word wonderment or wonder, amazement, astonishment, admiration, reverence, respect, dread, terror, fear, to revere something or to worship something. All has a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. All is an emotion that is variously combined with dread and wonder and is inspired by authority or by the sacred or sublime. All is an emotion comparable to wonder but less joyous. It is also a fear, an emotion of fear and respect. It is a combination of being surprised but also with fear. Amen. It is that feeling of reverence. Something, that feeling of when you walk into the house of God like we are this evening, there is a fear or reverence for the presence of God. That's why when the cloud of day would go over the tabernacle, the Spirit of God would fill the holiest of holies, or the pillar of fire by night over the tabernacle, as the children of Israel would follow the Levites and follow the Ark of the Covenant. It was with reverence and fear that would come upon the children of God. All is a response. Now there are about four or five, I can't keep count which how many I have here, but I want to talk about the different awes that are in the scripture tonight. There is an awe that produces a response to God's majesty. The Bible frequently describes God's power, creation, and actions as an awe-inspiring event. Examples such as Mount Sinai, where his power over nature and his judgment. There is the awe-inspiring nature, which is meant to evoke a sense of reverence and humility in the hearts of believers. That's why when the Holy Ghost fills a man or a woman, there is an awe and a respect for the things of God. There is a respect for his holiness. There is a respect for his name. There is a respect for the things that are all God intertwined.
Amen, amen. Awe is a key component of faith. Often awe, the word awe is linked to the fear of the Lord, which is not a terror-stricken fear, but a respectful fear. It is a reverential awe that leads to obedience and wisdom. That is why the scripture talks about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? The beginning of knowledge. It's not a fear of feeling cowered down or backed in a corner or under a stone somewhere, but it is a fear that, you know what? I can put my trust, my faith, and confidence in God, and I respect the outcome of the situation. Amen. There are the seven wonders of the ancient world, but I found out there are new seven wonders of the world. And one of them, there are the seven natural wonders of the world, and now there's new. And one of them is that of a statue of Jesus Christ. And I can't help but think about how that this world has gotten to the point of just now seemingly recognizing, if you will, I know that's not the case, but why is it that today's time, that now the new seven natural wonders is an image of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you, He spoke the worlds into existence. He established everything that is, that shall be, and that will be to come. Amen. Amen. The Bible talks about in our reading here this evening in Psalms 33:8, the psalmist urges all the earth to stand in awe of the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. There is that awe of amazement when you get in the presence of the Lord. Luke 8:25 describes the disciples' reaction to Jesus calming the storm as fear and amazement. Amen. He said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Can I tell you, I don't ever want to lose the awe of this awe of standing in the presence of Almighty God. I don't want to lose that ability to connect with the presence of God when I'm in His presence. Amen. Amen. You know, this world is, you know, everywhere you look, there's all this, you know, connecting, you know, that we live in a connected world. You know, connect with us on this social media platform. Connect with us. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I need a place of community. And I understand community. I understand connection. We need connection with other people. We need community with other people. But when you get in the presence of God, there ain't a man, there ain't a woman, there ain't a group, there ain't no connection, there ain't no community that can take the place into the void that Jesus can fulfill. There's no place that can take the connection to the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Ghost can do in a man and a woman. When you get the revelation of this awe factor, it fulfills everything in a man and a woman. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to be in awe of the sports world. I don't want to stand in awe of some musician. I don't want to stand in awe of some politician. But let me stand in awe of Jesus Christ and all of His glory. Amen, amen. And I can linger in all of these, but let me say this and move on. When you get the awe factor of standing in awe of His presence, amen, you know what that tells us and tells you is that you have learned how to decrease that He may increase. You've learned to suppress and die out to this flesh so that the Holy Ghost can rule and reign in your heart and in your mind. Amen, renewing of your mind in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. And so there's the awe of His, standing in awe of Him, or the awe and amazement of what God can do. There is the awe and trembling. Isaiah 6:5 depicts Isaiah's awe-stricken response to seeing God's glory, leading him to cry out Oh, I wish, you know, you don't hear this kind of stuff anymore. Or that maybe you don't hear the word, these words, but you don't even hear the spirit of how Isaiah said this. He said, leading him to cry out, woe is me, for I am undone. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What was he saying? He understood the awe and the trembling of being in God's presence. If we had young people that got the revelation of standing in the presence of God and trembling at his glory, we would have less fornication. We'd have less adultery. We'd have less walking out on God. We'd have less falling out with the Lord. Amen. The man of God said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Amen. And all of his trembling. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing like the gift of the Holy Ghost. There ain't nothing like the Holy Ghost when it gets down in the very deep crevices of your heart and of your mind. How it takes control of your thoughts and the intents of your heart. And it takes control of your emotions. Everybody say emotions. Everybody say self-control. Self-discipline. Amen. All those things. I was a teacher for 8 years. I taught for 8 years. I was in the educational field, and they teach all this stuff about resilience and self-control and being in the zone and all this stuff. And I understand the point of it, but there's some times when you look at some of the product that our world is producing and the lives that some of these children are coming up, I think, oh, my dear God, you don't need another zone to go into. You don't need another level to go up to. You need to find a place to pray and let the Holy Ghost work it out of you. Amen, amen, amen. You need the Holy Ghost. Some of this stuff is spiritual. It's spiritual. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I dealt with it face to face. It was just, you know, our society is all whacked out. I would have parents asking me, what do I do with my children? I have grandparents. What do I do with my kids? And I couldn't tell them this, but I want to say, you need to go find your Holy Ghost. Come to church with me and let the Holy Ghost put your marriage back together. Let the Holy Ghost help you with raising your children. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. And so we need to get a revelation, the awe factor. Everybody say the awe factor. Amen. There is the awe of the trembling, as Isaiah spoke about. There is also the awe of his name. The phrase, how excellent, in Psalms 8 refers to the praise and the reverence of God for God's name and his glory. It signifies the incredible power, majesty, and the goodness of God, and is displayed in his creation and in his relationship with humanity. The Bible says, everything you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray in his name. We call in the moments of need and in distress in his name. So it leads me to believe, and scripture bears witness, to baptize in his name. I want to make sure that I'm baptized in the name of Jesus. I want to make sure that the name is evoked over my life. Amen. Hallelujah. I got in a discussion a couple days ago with some Mormons. My wife thought they were Jehovah's Witness, but they were Mormons. And they came by the house. And, man, I just felt a boldness. I thought, I'm not, you know what? You ever feel a boldness come on you? Yeah. And young gentlemen in their 20s, and they wanted to talk. I said, hey, we're here starting a church here in the Liberty area. And I said, you know, yeah, let's, I want to talk. And so we got to talking, and finally I said, okay, I said, you're walking around here you're walking around his neighborhood trying to witness to people to save people, right? I said, yeah. I said, what if right across the street here, you knocked on that door and there was somebody fixing to
commit suicide, and they said, "Oh, I'm so glad you knocked on my door. I'm fixing to, you know, take my life. I've got this going on. I got that going on." What would you tell them? How are they to be saved? What would you say? And they looked at me, and they couldn't answer. They could not give me, however you want to say it, plan, formula, whatever. They could not give me how, question, how to be saved, question mark. We're supposed to be a light of the world, city set on a hill. Jesus is coming back. You're called an elder. How am I supposed to be saved? And they couldn't answer it. And it caught them off guard. So the next day, a couple days later, I got a text because I gave him my card. And I got a text. They said, "Hey, we'd like to meet with you again and talk about our salvation plan." I said, "Great, come on." And so they came back, and my little daughter was asleep, so I said, "Hey, can we meet at Starbucks right across the way here?" They said, "Yeah." So, but we met, and they didn't tell me their plan of salvation. They just, I don't know what they couldn't give me anything. And in that first meeting, I said, "You're walking around trying to tell people how to be saved. You don't even have a Bible." I said, 75% of people around here wouldn't even understand what that Mormon Bible you're carrying. So why are you even carrying it? They don't even relate to it. Where's your Bible?" Well, he said, "Well, it's in the car." Well, that next day, one of them brought a big old Bible. And if you're saved by how big your Bible is, I'm lost. They had a thick one. And before I left, I said, "Can I see your Bible?" And I looked at their Bible. And guess what? It wasn't some Bible you could buy at the Christian bookstore. It was one of their Bibles. And it was thick, man. That thing was thick. It was probably the thickest Bible I've ever seen. But hey, you got to get in awe of the name of Jesus. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in Josephus. It's not in anybody. It's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can say in the name of Jesus, there's victory in the name. There's healing in the name. Amen. Psalms 8:1 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens?" The psalmist David goes on to say, "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, if you look at verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4, you're going to see a layout of how David had a revelation of the awe factor. He goes, "How excellent is thy name." He was in amazement of the name of the Lord. He didn't even have a, Jesus had not even come down to this earth. He had not even been glorified. This was way on back in the Old Testament. But David had a revelation of the name of the Lord. And he goes, who has set thy glory above the heavens? And then in verse 3, he goes, when I, just a man, me just a man, me just clay, me just a nobody, when I consider thy heavens. If you look at your Bible, look at the wording of it. When I consider thy heavens, not the heavens, but he says thy heavens, whose the name, Almighty God, and the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He's standing in awe. "Oh God, I'm in awe. I'm in awe of your name. I'm in awe of your majesty. I'm in awe of your glory." Verse 4, he says, "What is man?" What is me? What am I? What am I that thou art mindful of him, and that the Son of Man that thou visitest him? And then you look at verse 5, he even goes, "For God, I'm so in awe of your name, the Lord, that thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands." What is man that thou would give him dominion over the works of thy hands?
and that thou hast put all things under his feet. Brothers and sisters, that's more than just for David. That's for us right here in 2025, Holy Ghost filled people. God has put everything under our feet. We don't have to live in fear and worry of this world. He has put all things under our feet. You may feel like you're walking on in a flood that's all the way up to your neck, but he's put all things under your feet. Oh, hallelujah. He's put all things under your feet. Verse 7, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, everything is under your feet, David. Not just what's under your feet, but even what's above. The fowl of the air. And even what's in the waters that you cannot see, that you cannot control, the fish of the sea. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas, everything is under your feet. And that last verse that I want to bring out in that chapter, verse 9, it says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I'm going to tell you what, I don't think we'll ever get the true essence, the fullness of everything that's in this book, and more directly, the essence of everything that's in his name. But the psalmist says, David said, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. My home church, where I was dedicated in Santa Ana, California, was called the Jesus Name Apostolic Church. You don't see that anymore nowadays. You don't see that Jesus Name Apostolic Church. Can I tell you, we're still a Jesus Name Apostolic Church. We're still a Jesus Name only church. There's healing in that name. There's salvation in that name. Oh, and I don't think our children truly have a full revelation of the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, back in the pioneer days, that's all they had was the name of Jesus. They didn't have this technology. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't have all this other stuff. All they could do is go find an altar, pray, and call on the name of Jesus. Oh, brothers, we don't have enough charisma. We don't have enough talent to win the world. We've got to call on the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I have felt lately, just help me bear my burden, I felt lately that this thing called building a church, this thing called trying to win the lost, this thing called working for God, whether it's from a pulpit or whether it's from a pew, whether you're a pastor or whether you're a saint, it's bigger than we are. It's bigger than us. It's a bigger thing than we are. We're nothing in the big scope of things, but to God be all the glory and to God do the work for the kingdom of God. Oh, you're part of a big thing, brothers and sisters. This is bigger than we are. This is grander than we are. It's the all of his name. Oh, the awe of it all. Amen. Let me hasten on here. The awe of his loving kindness. Aren't you thankful for the loving kindness of the Lord? That his mercies are renewed every morning. When I wake up, I could be the worst sinner that there is. But when I wake up in the morning, his mercies are renewed. He loves us. He loves us. He loves you and I. Oh, hallelujah. Psalms 36 says, the transgressions, verse 1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. There's no awe of God. There's no concern of God. There's no thought of God. God is a nothing. Who is God? There is a God. What is God? I'm a God unto myself. There is no fear of God. That is what the transgression of the wicked say. Verse 2, for he flattereth with himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devised mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorred not evil. I'm talking about the transgression of the wicked. Verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. I'm going to tell you, from verse 1 to verse 4 is a rotten individual. If anybody listened to what I read, if you would have listened to what I read, that was a rotten individual. That is a person walking the streets of San Francisco, or the streets right here in Olathe, Kansas, or the streets of Liberty, or the streets of Smithville. Rotten individuals. There is no God. They are full of deceit. They're full of abhorring evil. They're full of mischief and iniquity. But the writer of the next verse, in verse 5, Psalms 26, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. And thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. God, yeah, you were talking about all that iniquity and unrighteousness and wickedness. But in verse 6 it says, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep waters that we can swim in. Oh Lord, thou preservest man and beast. The righteousness, thy righteousness, is like great mountains. David had a revelation of the awe of God. For when the man of God came to him and said, you're the man, David. David, do you want to fall in the hands of a merciful God? Or do you want to pay the price? Said, I will fall in the hands of a merciful God. Because he had their revelation of the awe of his loving kindness. He had a revelation of his loving kindness. That's what our world needs to experience, is the loving kindness of God. And it's not in another self-help book, and it's not in another class, but it's right in the presence of Almighty God when the Holy Ghost comes in and is shed abroad in their hearts. Verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Awesome. God is excellent. God is wonderful. God is full of amazement. And David had the revelation, how excellent, how awesome is thy loving kindness, O God. Oh, yeah. Amen. And then there is the awe of the awe, as in the response to his miracles. The awe as in a response to his miracles. The early church was filled with awe as they witnessed the apostles. And I'm winding this up. Signs and wonders. Bible says, and they continued steadfastly. Yes. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Uh-huh. And fellowship. Yeah. And in breaking of bread. And in prayers. And fear, or awe, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know what can mess us up and we lose focus of the awe factor is when we get so caught up in the music and the beat and the presentation and this and that. You know what I'm talking about. We're dealing with it on a daily basis in our society today. It's just, we lose the awe factor. And there's not that connection to the God can't compete with that. It's not that God can't override that. It's just God's not going to waste his time with that, because he's not going to share his glory with any other. And when you've got all these other factors and variables, the presence of God, the all factor, can't have its full reign and full work. Aren't you thankful you're in a church where you're not trying to compete against all of these other elements, that the Holy Ghost can have free reign and free course? Oh, I want the all factor to have full reign in my life. And they came and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread into prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The awe of it all, to sum this up this evening, is when somebody gets baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the awe of it all. When you get that, all these other things fall into place. You get the joy of the Lord. You become steadfast in his ways. You begin to hunger and long for him. You get a clear conscience. You get a new lease on life. God gives you a new start. Somebody could experience that. We could talk about the burning bush that Moses stood at. Honey, if you come to music. Moses stood at the burning bush. That was an awe-inspiring moment. Moses and Aaron with Pharaoh and the plagues. That was an awe-inspiring moment. Israel at the Red Sea, another awe. Wow, he did it. I can only imagine Moses standing there at that Red Sea. God, Pharaoh and his armies after us. I'm here at the Red Sea, my back's against the wall. And the Lord says, Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Has anybody ever been there before when your back's against the wall? Oh, hallelujah. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, and God directs him. He puts out his rod to the sea, and God parts the waters. You talk about a wow moment, an awesome moment. My Lord and my God, how, you mean you're doing this for me? Not just for you, Moses, but I'm doing it for my people, the ones I've called out of Egypt, the ones that I sent you to deliver out of Egypt. Moses, I put you in the courts of Pharaoh. I put you at the table of Pharaoh for this day, Moses, to deliver my people out of Egypt. I'm talking about the awe of it all. Oh, hallelujah. God still wanting to do another awesome moment here tonight. He still wants to do another moment of an awe factor here tonight as we stand to our feet this evening. I wonder if you're in a situation where you need another awe moment. You're in the middle of the battle. You're in the middle of the fight. And God's saying, hey, I want to part the waters. I want to deliver you. As Peter walked on the water, said, Master, he said, if it's really you, bid me to come. Peter steps out of the boat, begins to walk towards Jesus. And as Peter was walking, he got his eyes off of Jesus and got his eyes on the water. Sometimes while you're walking to Jesus, he doesn't calm the whole storm. He doesn't calm the whole storm. Wants to see, are you going to keep your eyes on me or the storm? And Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, has got his eyes on the water and got his eyes on the storm and got his eyes on the problem and got his eyes on what was hindering him. And he began to seek. And we know the story, Jesus pulled him out of that water, but Peter finally fastened his eyes back on Jesus. You talk about an awe moment. An awe-inspiring moment. You know what? I don't want to just hear about the awe-inspiring moments. I want to live in the awe-inspiring moment. I want to live in the middle of the awe moment. I want God to be able to do the awe-inspiring through me, through you, through His church. Hallelujah. As we stand, let's raise our hands right now. And I want to open this altar. If you've got a need,